This is Patrick Cook with Shirley Wales, and it is October the 26th. I'm not sure what the number is for the gathering, but here we go. So we'll just start off with simple things, like, can you tell us your name and when and where you were born?
I'm Shirley Wales. I was born in Deer Lodge, Montana. 1937.
And where did you grow up?
In Hellamville, Montana, on a ranch. Mm-hmm. Until my father's death, and the first 6 months I lived with Bill and Hazel Coughlin in Hellamville to go to school. The second half, my mother, Ruby, and I went to Deer Lodge, lived in the old St. Joseph's Hospital, and Mom went back to nursing, and I went to St. Mary's Academy in Deer Lodge for those 6 months. Had my meals with the other nurses, etc. Got to see my first nephew, because he was born there. The nurses snuck me up to see him, so I got to see him way early.
Yeah.
And that was Dale Wales. And I spent my time in Deer Lodge. I entertained myself by roller skating in the basement of the hospital and running the elevator, because it was fun. And after we went home summers back to the ranch, and then the following year mother went to Missoula and started nursing there. The first 2 months of that schooling, I was a seventh grader at St. Francis, but I also boarded for 2 months. My older sisters all boarded at the academy before me. And then, so when she first got an apartment, there was Joan and Bernie and I living with Mom.
Here in Missoula?
In Missoula, in an apartment above a donut shop and other things, and we had cockroaches, and it was dark and yucky.
Where was that?
On Main Street in Higgins and Main area. And then the following year, well, Joan then had graduated. Then she got an apartment across from St. Francis Xavier Church. And so then it's easy to walk to schools and stuff like that. And so that was everything, you know, until we would go back to the ranch on summers. And then after I graduated, because I was the youngest of the family, and when I went to Carroll, then Mom moved into Missoula full-time.
Okay. How old were you when your dad died?
11.
And so then your mother, Ruby,
mm-hmm.
provided for how many of you?
Well, there were 8 children, but I think Dee Dee and Joan were still in high school. And Anna Marie graduated from nurses training a year later. So she was off at nurses training. And Jean, I don't know if she had gone to California, I think. She was going to be a dental hygienist, and she went to California and lived with an aunt and uncle, and that was Polly and Ed Coughlin.
Okay.
So, and better pause.
Okay. Okay. Back on the record.
So I went to Hellamville grade school, you know, the first years, and we had to board. All of us had to board out to go to school, because in those days, neither the roads nor the cars were good enough that you could go the 10 miles on a daily basis. So we boarded at Francis Potts's and then went home on weekends.
Right. And what did that entail, being a boarder? I mean, did you just pay a fee or did you assist with household stuff? Or?
I don't know. She was one of the family that mother was raised by.
Okay.
And and she was widowed, and she also cleaned the school and did that type of thing. So I don't know what the financial arrangements were.
But you just stayed there and were kind of like a part of the family while you were there, or?
Well, yes, yeah, she had, you know, a whole crew of kids living there, and.
But you'd go home, you'd go back to the ranch on the weekends?
Most weekends. Mm-hmm. But when the winter weather was so bad, sometimes we would go as far as Bignall's Ranch, which is 5 miles from Helmville. Mm-hmm. And then Dad and Ed would come and get us in a sleigh with a team of horses. And then we could go across the fields to get home. And they used to throw me off the hay wagon, and I was feeling really bad and unloved. And the reality is they were keeping me alive, because then I would be running and energizing and staying warm.
Right. Right. It didn't seem that way at the time.
Well, you know, kids, what's right. your... Why are they throwing me off the hay wagon?
Right. What was the technology like? I mean, what year was this? Or time, stretch of time?
Well, Dad died in 48.
Okay.
You know, so it's in that
right.
realm. And so it would be prior to that.
Yeah.
Be prior to that, because he was ill as much as I can remember his whole life. He had bad heart problems and was hospitalized numerous times. And in the days of the Catholic Church, when extreme unction was the anointing was given only when they felt death was certain, he had extreme unction 5 different times.
Wow.
And it was quite an interesting setup. There was like a protocol. You met the priest at the door with a lighted candle, and they had special oils and prayers and things. And they laid out a linen cloth, and you had a little bit of water and salt and things there for them when they came.
Wow.
And they anointed them. And I still have Dad's cross that has the, you can take it apart and put the candles in. And,
oh, really?
Yeah.
And that was, and that was a cross that is common for, I guess I'm not super familiar with that.
I don't know if others had, you know, like that cross, but part of the thing was to have a cross and lighted candles.
Yeah.
Because they brought them communion if they were able to partake of it, and then anointed them.
And he had it 5 times. He was certain he was going to die.
That was there, yeah.
Wow. And how old was he when he died?
48. Wow. No, he was 53. He died in 48. Okay. He was 53.
Wow.
Yeah, my parents were born in the 1800s. See, mother was 1899, and Dad
yeah.
was 5 years old.
That's incredible. That seems so
far away.
Seems so far away, but it's not really that removed. What was technology like growing up around home?
Well, we had cars and we had tractors, but after Dad died, we worked in the hayfield and stuff, and that was horses.
Okay.
They had horses on the equipment and that, and then they would, I think, probably first got up. The stacker team went for an automated winch, and then they would have an automated bull rake and that type of thing. We had no planes. We didn't really go much. I had been to Missoula twice in my whole life before we moved here.
Wow.
And so that was, and then it was just Tulane, and there's a thing called the Sperry Grade that used to, was kind of a drop off.
Right.
But there were trains, but I think my first train trip was in high school, that I went back to Chicago for a conference. And I was maybe 23 before I was on my first plane.
Wow. And high school was here in Missoula?
I went to, well, all six girls graduated from Sacred Heart Academy.
Okay.
In Missoula, and my sophomore year, they started Loyola again, and now it's called
Loyola
Sacred Heart as a combined thing, and the building was under where St. Pat's is now.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And the grade school I went to has just this year been demolished. It was the one behind St. Francis. It was called St. Francis Xavier Grade School.
Okay.
So
yep.
Bernie and I both attended there. I did 7th and 8th grade.
Okay. Awesome. Do you know when your ancestors left Ireland?
No.
No. Okay. That's do you know any stories about that or...
I don't know how they came, why they came. I just know that we always laughed. I always said I was full Irish, except the dirty part of my fingernail was English. But anyhow, there's Irish ancestry way back on all sides.
Right, right.
Yeah. But I don't know.
How far back? Do you know? Have you been able to explore? I was looking at the genealogy there, and it looks like 1807 or something. Might be the first person's birth date on there.
We'd have to look closer
sure.
to that because.
Sure. Oh yeah.
I don't have a...
Patrick Geary, 1807, looks like birth. But that's...
Way back.
That's way back.
Yeah. Let's see, so then this comes down here.
Yep. Yeah. Okay. So, wow.
What I should do is make you a copy of that. And you
yeah, that'd be great.
Clean it up if you want to.
Sure.
I thought about it. I just can't fit it all on there.
And they were they in the Montana Territory, do you know, when they settled in the States?
The first I know of was when the Wales ancestors, when they came from New York to Dillon, and that's in the book that I wrote, and the train went as far as Dillon. And that's
and then,
the earliest that I'm aware of.
Sure. And then from Dillon, did a generation of them live in Dillon, or did they move
No, they were coming to Homestead.
Oh, okay.
So, and the McElwains that were in Deer Lodge, okay, they happened to be on the same train. Anyhow, they came out to the area in search of homesteading things, and...
And who was that? This was Andrew
I think
Wales?
it's Andrew. I have to look it up.
1831. That would be about right.
I have to, I
Okay.
need to look in my book.
Sure.
But we'll go ahead while I'm searching.
Oh no, that's perfect. Does Dad have a copy of that, or is that the only one
Oh no,
that's out?
I gave one to each of my nieces and nephews and said, if you want to make copies for your kids, fine.
Great. Okay. I'll ask him for one then, because
Okay,
that
this
was.
is Andrew Wales.
Okay. 1831
And
to 1889. And Anna Marie Cavanaugh?
yeah.
So they came.
He came around 1879. This was Andrew. And Anna Marie and their children made the trip from New York to Montana by train.
Great. And then they settled around Helmville. So there have
There,
been.
I think the ranch was an old fishery.
Oh, really?
It's got all the squatters' rights and stuff here from Dilts. That's who they purchased land. And that was on the Whale side, and then some of the children also brought property around it, and so it kind of gathered from there.
Yeah. That's great. So that's a pretty incredibly long time that your ancestors, well, and my ancestors too, have lived in that Helmville area since
Yeah.
18, I mean, since 1890 at least.
Yeah, this was 1879 they came to.
Yeah, 1870.
The deed at the Wales Ranch was dated February 8th, 1882. And that big house was built in 1914.
Wow. And
Have you
before,
been on the ranch?
I've, well, gosh, it's been a really long time, but yeah. So,
Big, big.
but I've seen several photos
Oh, yeah.
over and over because they, I mean, they're awesome. It's an incredible
Yeah,
house. But
huge.
you grew up in, you didn't grow up in the big house, did you?
No.
You grew up in
In the little house,
the little house, which is
at which was log.
right, and was older, wasn't it?
And part of it was built by Uncle Tom Wales.
Okay.
And it was his cabin, and
Of
then
course, it's fitting.
they added onto it
Okay.
for our family.
So you lived in Uncle
But
Tom's cabin.
yes.
That's so great.
Yeah.
Tom Wales. I don't see him up here, but that's probably.
No, because he's an uncle.
Oh, okay.
He was a
He's
brother
not
to.
here. Right. Great. And so you and.
No, I'm wrong. It wasn't Andrew, it was Hugh. Because Hugh and Maggie are my grandparents, so he would have been Hugh's brother.
Okay.
I have to get them all straightened out.
Right. You almost need a chart for all these people. That's incredible.
But that, and then the big house and stuff, had a huge basement and had like five bedrooms upstairs and a big attic. And the basement and stuff, because we did, it was a ranch, and so we had our own cattle, and we actually had our own slaughterhouse.
In the basement.
No,
Oh.
at a building, total,
Oh.
like a barn.
Oh,
I
wow.
mean, a big thing. And it was all set up so that they could bring the animal in the chute and kill them. And then you could open the door and the carcass rolled out, and it was all cement and had a drain for
Yep.
all the thing. And on the left, they had a scale, a big scale that you drove animals in to weigh
Okay.
them and everything. So we had our own slaughterhouse for meat and stuff, and there was a huge garden beside the big house. I mean, huge. And there was a root cellar, which used to be an old bomb shelter. Originally was built as a bomb shelter.
Oh, wow. Along with the house in 1940?
I don't know when. Sure. It was, but it was up on the hill behind our house and had cement on the bottom and then ground over the top. And in later years, we just put vegetables and stuff in sand and stuff.
Sure.
In there. But they would every fall order a full semi truck full of canned goods, and they kept that in the basement of the big house. And I don't know if they were two befores or what they, but there were wood that they kept them up off the cases. It was case goods, and to keep it up off the cement.
A semi truck?
Yeah, big, huge truck. Well, whatever size they were at that time. But
right.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, and that would just be their canned goods for the rest of the year?
Pretty much. There was a grocery store in Helmville, which was owned and run by my Uncle Bill Coughlin. And, like bologna and hot dogs and that kind of stuff and bread and stuff you could get from there. Except Mom made bread every Monday of the world on a cook stove that was with wood.
Really?
And our hot water was because there was a reservoir on the side that got heated by that. And she did Thanksgiving dinners for 40 on that wood stove.
On a wood cook stove? Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, and they had, at that time, they were kind of a novelty to me because we still had them, but they were used prior to me. But actual iron... for ironing,
yep.
You'd put the base part on the stove to heat it up, and then you'd slide the handle in, and that's how. And we used an old Maytag washer, mm-hmm. And you had to put the, if you wanted whitening, it was called a bluing solution that you put in, and then it had the ringer washer things.
Oh, yep.
Yeah, and then we had several lines. I can't remember how many, maybe four, going out the back of clotheslines.
Everything was air dried?
Yeah.
Was the
and in the wintertime, they froze. You know, so if you had long johns, they stuck out under yarn. And you put them on racks in by the stove inside to dry. And took baths in a big round tub.
Really?
First one in got the clean water.
And if that was hot water, it was heated on that reservoir on the stove?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah, and then you just heat it up with the tea kettle.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Or scoop it out, yeah. And outhouses.
You didn't have any indoor?
We had indoor plumbing when I was there, but there was also outhouses.
Right.
And you found out that the yellow and the green pages of the catalogs were the softest.
That's awesome. Did you still get Sears Roebuck catalogs?
Oh, definitely. Like we got all our clothes through catalog.
Yeah.
I wasn't in a store until I was seventh grade.
Really?
I had never been in a,
store
to buy.
Any sort of department store?
No.
Wow.
Everything came from the catalog. And the shoes and the whole bit. And when the order came, why, we'd put a blanket on the floor and try on the shoes and stuff to see.
Wow.
And we would use the old catalogs. Part of our playtime was to get old cardboard boxes, and we would paste rooms from the catalogs in there,
yeah.
and it was always a big hunt to find the right size mom and dad, you know.
Yeah.
You have to go through the whole catalog to try and get the right size family. But we put it on with flour and water paste. We were quite content.
That's great.
But we also did checkers and Chinese checkers and played lots of hearts and cards and that kind of stuff. In addition, we had a big upright piano. And
did you play?
I didn't, but some of the others did. I took 7 whole lessons, but at the boarding house, the room was not heated, and I was in the first grade, so I lasted about 7 lessons, and
yeah.
that was it. But some of the others did, and Joan and Bernie played by ear.
On the piano.
But that was, you know, like, a lot of the Gary boys really had beautiful voices, and they would come down. We'd all have sing-alongs and this kind of stuff, and they played matchstick poker.
Matchstick?
Well, it's poker, and you just use matchsticks.
Oh, okay. So in place of money or
yeah.
pennies or whatever.
Yeah. So I got off into entertainment. Sorry. I think I skipped.
No, that's great. No, that's... That fills in some of the later questions, actually. Do you have any other childhood memories of growing up there?
Oh, a zillion.
Yeah. What was it like during haying season? Were there a lot more men that came to help with that?
They did hire men, but also, see, the wartime came. And so when I was 13, I was out in the hay field, and Bernie and I did... one horse rake. And then the next year or so, I was on a bull rake with a team. And what you would do is go down the windrow and bunch for the power buck rake, you know, and then they'd take it. It was a beaver slide stacker. And they would take it there. And in the early days, it was like 3 horses that brought the lift up, and later years it was a winch, and then they would have men up on the stack that kind of spread it around and
sure.
stuff like that, and there were big huge panels around 3 sides. So
during the wartime, you and your sisters did all of that?
Well, no, they had other men that like, Ed didn't qualify for draft because it was draft then. It was not. But those, say, like Glenn and Frank and those, all had to go to the service.
Mm-hmm.
So that whole group pretty much gone and stuff.
Right. And this was for Korea.
This was for WW2,
oh,
I think.
Okay.
Yeah, because they were Japanese.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, of course, there was all the rationing.
Yeah.
And all of that.
How did that affect you?
Well, we were in better shape than a lot, see, because we had our own meat and food and that kind of stuff. Sugar was rationed, tires were rationed,
yeah.
and I probably don't have it straight. Bernie remembers it well, like the Victory Gardens and stuff that people would have. And at school, we saved foil and string. And they would put stars in the windows for... the fellows at war. It was mostly men those days that went to war. There were WACs and WAFs, but most were the fellows.
Right.
And they would put a star in the window. And if I remember correctly, they put a blue star in for someone over there, and then if they were killed, it became a gold star or something. That we'd have to really research, because
sure.
I'm not sure of that same thing. But I remember when I was doing my little booklet, I had everybody answer some of these things, like you're asking me
mm-hmm.
what they remembered about entertainment and growing up and this kind of stuff. So
yeah.
That was part of Bernie's.
Yeah, that's interesting. I'd never heard of that before.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Why couldn't Ed go to war?
I think it was 4F. Whether it was flat feet or, you know, something that,
right.
that.
Something like that. Or eyesight.
No.
But he had good eyesight. Hmm.
I think it was his feet, but I couldn't
yeah.
swear to that. And he was really disappointed that he couldn't go. But.
It seems like such a silly thing to be disqualified for anymore. Now that we have, you know, all these things with, I mean, you can build any sort of shoe for anyone, but then it was like...
Well, lots of things I didn't have.
Yeah.
You know, that you take it for granted now. You know, the telephone.
Right.
The telephone was a fun thing, because it was the wood box.
Yep.
On that with the... And the lightning sometimes came through that metal speaker and bounced off of the stove and around the house. We had lots of lightning storms at the ranch, and in fact, it started the corner of our house on fire one time.
Because of that? Because it came through?
Well, no. It just hit the corner of the house.
Right.
It split. There were a couple big trees.
That's crazy.
Not too far away, and just split them. So, and we had saddle horses killed. One of our saddle horses was killed by lightning, yeah. So,
Did anyone ever get electrocuted using the telephone?
You stayed off it.
When, during the lightning storm, though?
Yeah, you did. Well, we didn't get on the phone and yak like
right.
you do today. There's just no way. In fact, when I was dating, my date would call and say, Friday at 8, and you'd say yes, and that was the conversation. Because everybody was listening in.
Oh,
see, it was a party line.
Right.
And our ring was two shorts and a long. And so the ring went into everybody's house. And so everybody knew there was a call. And those that were bored or curious or whatever, they just pick up and listen to the conversation.
Were you ever one of those?
No.
No? You never heard any interesting conversations on the party line?
No.
Because you'd know exactly who it was for, because most people knew each other's codes, didn't they? Or to some...
Well, everybody knew everybody's ring.
Yeah.
No doubt about that. Now, Jones era, they tried to give each other... funny names, you know, like somebody was Carrot Top or somebody was, you know, Rutabaga or some
mm-hmm.
crazy thing. But anybody, because we're all related and everybody knew everybody since forever, you know,
yeah.
they'd know shortly. But you didn't just stay on there and visit.
And chat, yeah.
No, it was for quick messages. And also, it was volunteer fire department. So they had a ring that everybody would know. So that kind of thing. And another thing that was interesting was that, Mom was an RN. And probably, well, in the early, early days, there was a doctor in Drummond, but in my day, the closest one was Deer Lodge and stuff.
Mm.
But they still came out, like for my dad. They made house calls and this kind of stuff. But for the minimal things, they called my mom.
Mm.
And she'd take care of a lot of the...
Wow. So she kind of was the community physician in a way? For
yeah.
smaller things like that?
Yeah, yeah. Well, like guy put a was chopping wood, you know, hit his leg, and they quick, he was on the ranch actually, and brought him in, and she took care of it when I was in a car accident when I was 15. I split on the head Thanksgiving morning. I didn't go to any doctor. I came home and Mom cleaned it up and put butterfly bandages on it and big white strip of adhesive down the back. And when I came back into school, I looked like a skunk because I had this white strip down. And we put bourbon on a cotton ball for toothache.
Numb the pain.
Mm-hmm.
That'll do it. That'll do it. That's great. Man, we could stick on childhood stuff for, I mean, actually, I'm going to switch out the batteries really quick and then we can continue. All right, and we continue. How are you doing? Do you need anything?
I'm going to get a Pepsi.
Okay, great.
Do you want one?
Sure.
Diet or regular?
I'll take the regular kind. So, do you remember what kind of toys you played with? We talked a little bit about games and things like that.
We had dolls and tea sets. And sleds go down the hill on the ranch.
Is there a big sled?
We did lots of horseback riding, bareback.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. We always had to go bareback unless we were with the older ones, you know, when they were moving cattle or something. I think it was a cousin maybe of my dad's or something that was drugged to death, and so we couldn't do saddles until we were proficient or old enough. Yeah. And we had one old horse, good old Queenie, that they could put, you know, six or seven on her until somebody fell off the back end and she'd let him go around. Had a hired man that taught me a few tricks on the horse.
Really? What sort of tricks did he teach you?
Well, he taught me to stand up on one and then flip backwards. And then I could go under the horse, but I was never supposed to tell anybody that because I, you know, wrong horse and kicked you. Anyhow.
What was his name? What was the hired?
Bill Ford.
Bill Ford.
Huh. Yeah, he was there when I was born. He was on a hired man on the ranch, and then as he got older, then he became the gardener. Okay. But he loved horses.
Did he have a family there?
No.
No, it was just him?
Just him.
And do you know what happened to him?
When he got too old, I think he was forced off and lived out his last days at one of the Gary's up by Lincoln area.
Sure.
I think.
Did you guys make, you said you made dollhouses out of old Sears and Roebuck catalogs and things like
that? Yeah, and cardboard boxes, yeah.
Did somebody make the sleds that you used? Or?
They were purchased. We tried hard to find them before Christmas.
Yeah.
Didn't find them, found the rope. But they had the, they had hidden them up in the greenery, in the green.
Oh my gosh.
Because, you know, we had lots of buildings. In fact, I counted one time, we had 5 big barns on various areas of the ranch, and almost more buildings than there were in Helmville, because there were 2 chicken coops, and there were a stud barn and another barn and a big barn for the horses down below and another one next to it. And we had really unique gates. Anybody who's ever, and people keep trying to find out how to make them, and
I've seen a picture.
Mm-hmm.
They're amazing.
Yes, and as kids, what was really fun, because you'd be up the lane horseback riding or whatever, and you come back, and it had an arm on it with a rope coming down.
Yeah.
You never even had to get off the horse. You just yanked it, and up it came. And then when you went on the other side, you could close it the same way. And I was little and scrawny, really scrawny. I was a little matchstick. And I loved when I was about 5 years old or so, you know, when somebody would come who didn't know how to work the gate, I'd run out and open it like that. And, yeah, that was fun.
Who made those?
It was copied off of one that somebody had seen. I think it was in a 1914 fair or something, St. Louis Fair or someplace. I don't know, but we were the only ones in the area that had them. And at one time, was it Ed and I think maybe there were close to 13 of them on the ranch, because they had one when you came into the ranch.
Yeah.
They had one just beside it that went up to where we had a sawmill area. Mm-hmm. And there was one clear down by the bunkhouses and stuff that went that way. And
yeah, I remember.
Over by the shop, there were a couple. Yeah, another one going there. So there were, but they were really unique. It had something to do with the balance on the end. But
it was, yeah, I remember Dad looking at them, and we were kind of studying it, trying to figure out how it was built, because it looks simple, but it's kind of a complex counterweight system.
Yeah.
So that all you have to do is pull that.
Yeah, you need to shut it off.
Okay. What kinds of things would be going on aside from, I mean, it sounds like there are a lot of animal husbandry kind of things. You have a slaughterhouse and things like that, but did all the men hunt? Did anybody trap?
Oh, everybody. The Dad and Ed were both big on hunting. Had lots of venison.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they used to, you know, hang them in the slaughterhouse to age. And there was also a big meat safe in the basement that they would hang beef carcasses and stuff to age. And then they had a big butcher block and, you know, butchered all their own. And there was also a huge separator down there, because we had milk cows. And they used to separate the cream from the milk. And so, like, when they said cream in those recipes, it was almost the thickness of Oleo or something, because it was solid cream.
Yeah.
And milk didn't have, like, a lot of cream or
sure.
anything in there. So
did you make your own butter or anything like that?
They didn't.
Really?
Yeah. Mom had an old butter churn and made that. And she did lots of canning and all of that good stuff. Being the youngest, my jobs were like filling the wood box, although I did chop kindling.
Really?
I was a young kid. Yeah, I chopped kindling out there. Nobody thought twice about it, I guess.
How old were you, do you think, when you
were? Well, I was before Dad died, so.
11 and younger.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
My hatchet.
would you chop it with a full size axe or just a hatchet?
Full size axe, I guess.
Oh,
I'm guessing.
Yeah.
And then we collected pine cones.
Mm-hmm.
We'd get big baskets of pine cones and stuff because they were great for starting the wood stove.
Yeah. Yeah, they do make a great fire starter.
That and dusting, I guess. But, so, those like Dee Dee and those did, you know, more of the helping with the cooking and stuff. Although, after they were all gone, then Mom made bread every Monday, and so I would just help with that. She made like three-leaf clover buns and stuff, and I would put those together. But we'd wait around the back door when she was cooking it, because then whoever happened to be handiest would get the heel with the homemade butter. See? And she made ice cream, and we took our turning the churn.
Did you make that with rock salt or something?
Mm-hmm. They put rock salt around the side.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. But and she'd make divinity and fudge and caramel and, you know, all that homemade stuff, especially around Christmas time.
Yeah.
But we were very into chocolate for everything.
Three-leaf clover buns, huh? That sounds pretty Irish.
Well, you just pick some of that old and do it in threes. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Soda bread is very Irish.
Would she make that a lot?
No. Friend makes that now all the time, but I remember Mom making soda bread. But we also, on the end of the counter, had our own hand grinder. Would grind meat and stuff to make big things of hash. You know, and onions and.
Did she grind her own wheat for flour? Or did
No.
Baked flour.
No, the flour was purchased.
Okay, from that store that you're. From the store in Helmville, or.
Don't know. I assume.
Yeah.
Yeah, that.
Because it was kind of a general store, like.
Yeah, it was a general store, and the post office was attached to it.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Didn't.
But our mail came to a mailbox about 5 miles from the ranch.
Okay.
Right where it turned off.
I remember somebody telling me, and this may be the wrong building, but did somebody board above the post office at some point? Dad pointed out that building to me. Or maybe he just pointed out the building driving to Helmville where you guys boarded for school. Is it near the post office?
No, it's right across from the community center.
Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah. In fact, the old shed in back still has the nail in there with my name under it for the toothbrush and stuff, and the outhouse is still back there. We didn't have plumbing at that house.
Really?
Yeah, we went to the outhouse.
I'll have to go take a photo of that, the nail, and it's got your name under it.
It did have, Lois Tolan lives there now. And one time, maybe it was Joan and I visited her when we were there, and she took me out back. And the names, I think, were still there. But from the I can't remember who all's names, but I think mine was there. There were some of them.
Growing up, what kind of, aside from games and things like that, what kind of entertainment was available to you?
Love to dance.
Yeah.
Always went to in the summertime especially, there would be dances in what was a converted barn. Mm. Same place we had the school plays, by the way. And also where we had movies. But the movies Jim Coughlin would go get from Drummond, and they were only shown once. Mm-hmm. And maybe 8 o'clock or whatever, and if you were late, too bad.
Right.
I think it was about 50 cents. And I can remember being there, and you'd hear whoosh, whoosh. It was one of the locals opening their beer to watch during the movie.
And so there was like a film projector in there, and he'd go get a reel.
Yeah, there was a little, they had a little thing built up. A
little projection for the booth.
Yeah, yeah.
And everybody would gather and watch a film. What sorts of films? Do you remember any of the movies?
Oh, White Christmas, Going Your Way, who knows? And you'd have newsreels always came on before the those. I don't even remember what all they were. But, you know.
There were some great, great films.
The old time thing.
Like Metro Golden Mayer. Yeah.
No.
Things like that.
Lion.
Yeah.
Yep. Excuse me. Oh, there was.
Okay, carry on.
They also had picnics and horseback riding and sleigh rides.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's great. How often would there be a dance?
It varied because they would have dances in Helmville and Ovando and Avon, yeah. And Jen's Corner by Gold Creek for the older ones. But there was always what they called the duck dance in Ovando around duck hunting season. Okay. And there was always one during the holidays. And we would go to Avon to dances.
Wow.
And in fact, that's when the car accident with the was coming home from a dance in Amon.
Do you remember who was driving when that happened?
Oh yeah. His name was Grant Hamilton and Gerald Bignall and Frank Pope and Pauline Bignall and I. And one of the guys had taken Bernie home from the dance, and as he was trying to pass, it was icier than sin. And he pulled off just a little bit to try and let him by, and we hit ice and flipped over with the tires all up. And what was interesting was that, of course, everything's black. And so there was fluid on Pauline's face, and Gerald tasted it to see if it was blood.
Oh my God.
Wasn't that interesting? Yeah. But then, because the fellow saw the accident and stuff, so I can't remember who came and got us, but we did in Bignall's car. I wasn't driving.
Was it the younger Bignall's car, or was it his father's or something?
It was the father's car.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I'm sure he was.
Yeah, well, because not a whole lot had their own cars.
Right.
Those days. And we went in multiples, you know.
Sure. That was a pretty big deal if you had your own car, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Did anyone else get hurt in that accident?
Not really.
No?
No. Nothing serious. Nobody ever went to the hospital or anything. We did have, I remember it was so steep that Pauline and I had on flat shoes because for the dance and this kind of stuff, and we had to have help to get up the incline. It was that steep. It was right by Nevada Creek Dam.
Oh, wow.
On the opposite side.
Yeah.
But that's where we went off. Yeah.
Did you ever go as far as Deer Lodge for any sort of social?
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Well, in later years.
Right.
Yeah, you know, because
when you're old enough to go to the dances at Jen's and things like
Well, I didn't go to Jen's because it probably had closed before my day. But in those days, most of the teenagers boarded in Deer Lodge to go to high school.
Okay.
So it was just the Wales girls that went to Missoula. And so all our friends and everything went to Powell County High. So we would get in on some of their activities.
Why did you board in Missoula? Because
Sacred Heart Academy was not only a boarding school, but it was a Catholic boarding school.
Okay, and there wasn't.
And my grandparents were such strict Catholics that even in the early days when it was horse and buggy, they never missed Mass. 10 miles, blizzards, or whatever.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
Was there any tradition of storytelling in your home? Do you remember your dad or your mom telling stories?
Not a whole lot, because we were all gone for most of the week. We got spoiled pretty good when we came home on the weekend. She made our favorite foods and that kind of stuff. And a lot of time, Dad was ill, and he had a nice voice, and sang in the choir, and also sang at some of the Protestant funerals. I can remember going to one where a young boy had a hunting accident. And he sang for that service.
Wow.
Yeah, and his siblings too, the Wales girls, they had good voices. We used to do a lot of, around Christmas time, sing-alongs around the piano.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was not uncommon.
That's great. What kinds of things did he sing? Do you remember any of them?
Irish things, and the old Rugged Cross is what he sang in that, but...
What kind of Irish songs did he sing?
Oh, gotta remember them. All the old standards. Peg of My Heart was one of them. He didn't do Danny Boy, but his was more church singing and stuff. Not so much around home.
Yeah.
And that when his siblings and stuff, I think he was because Mother Wales, she was the only grandparent that was alive when I was born. And I remember her favorite song was Born to Lose. Isn't that strange? Anyhow. But, and also another thing I remember from her, because we always wore jeans, and sometimes we had the dresses that, when they got too small, we wore them as tops with the jeans.
Sure.
And they had the tie string. And she would, when we go to visit her, she would always tie those bows and fluff them up and make them really pretty.
What was her first name? Grandma.
Mother Wales is what we called her. Mm-hmm. And she's Margaret Edna Gary Wales. Known as Maggie to others.
Okay. Where did she live?
On the ranch.
Okay.
In the big house.
Gotcha. Did you guys have, you obviously didn't have a TV growing up, but...
I didn't see TV until I was in high school.
Yeah.
Like a senior in high school.
Had never even,
hadn't seen one.
Wow.
Until no. You were a senior high school. No. The upright piano was a player piano, and it it had things. Pretty Mickey was the one I remember, and you just pedal it down on the bottom, and it would play.
Yeah. And that was one of the songs.
Yeah,
that you
and up at Big Knowles, they had a old gramophone, and sometimes when I visit Pauline, because we were the same age and stuff, we'd go up and. Upstairs and play
what kind of
records of don't know if they're 78s or 45s, but
probably
they were records,
right? What kind of music did you guys like to listen to?
Anything and everything.
Yeah.
There wasn't heavy metal and all of that.
No.
Wasn't even around.
No.
in those days, but family loved music. Yeah, all kinds. except not too much on the classical.
Sure.
But and we had a radio, and on Saturday the kids used to like to listen to Let's Pretend. And oh, got in trouble one time when we, after Aunt Frances, we boarded at Edmund McCormick's, and he had gone someplace, and we were listening to Inter Sanctum, The Squeaking Door, and we were, you know, all supposed to be in bed minding our own business. But anyhow,
where was that at?
This is in Helmville. Yeah, and Edmund was also one of the family that Mom was raised with, but he was a bachelor that lived, and his house is still right across from where the community hall is now.
Okay. Inner Sanctum.
Yeah, it was a mystery late night thing.
That's great. What were some of the popular radio shows then?
Mostly what we heard was news and
sure.
Let's Pretend was a kids thing on Saturdays, and but see, that was only summer times or weekends, and we weren't in the house a whole lot.
Right.
You know, we were out up doing a zillion other things. There were lots of trees up there, and we go play in those. Or when I was a little bit older, I was shooting gophers with a 22. That's like 12.
Someone put a weapon in your hands at 12?
Awesome. A 22. Oh. Well, my father was quite a hunter, and he had it. Gun cabinet by the bedroom and stuff. But I got in trouble one time because somebody hid my ball in there. Mm. And he caught me going after it. And we were never to open the gun cabinet. Yeah. So he took me out back, and I don't know what it was, but he had me shoot this big gun, and it had such a kick, it just knocked me on my butt to give me a lesson.
Yeah, and how much power it had. Yeah, that's smart.
Yeah, but see, when he went hunting then in later years, because of his hip heart problem, he and Kenny Coughlin, who was on crutches, would often go hunting together, and then Mom and I would wait in the truck. She'd be doing some of her sewing or something. Yeah. I'd just play around the truck until they notify us, and then we'd have to get help to get the animal out.
Oh, okay.
So.
Why was Kenny on crutches?
He had polio when he was 11.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
So he had crutches for the rest of his life?
Yes.
Okay. And so he and your dad kind of moved at the same pace then, since they both...
Well... I don't know. Right. I assume. Just, see, I was little.
But they turned into hunting buddies?
Well, later on, yeah. But Dad was we definitely had a lot of venison.
Yeah. Oh, I've seen photographs of some of the deer that killed. I mean, they didn't mess around. They were
pretty
incredible.
They didn't do it just for hunting. They did it for food.
Right. Do you know what any pop culture icons were from that day?
Never had an idol. That was,
it's kind of
weird. I didn't really care.
That's so,
you know, it was the era of Bing Crosby and all of those, but, to me, they were old.
Right.
And always loved music and dancing. That was still something.
Yeah.
But we never, you know, and to this day, when I hear all the screaming, giggly things, it irritates me, because I think it's nice to, you know, appreciate people and this kind of stuff, but...
But that kind of rabid, you know...
That's just not...
The fan world is bizarre, isn't
mm-mm.
it?
Wasn't part of it.
Right.
I don't remember swooning over anybody. Later years, you know, I thought Paul Newman was pretty great.
Yeah.
And I got to, you know, pit in the same area during the race car series.
What happened during the race
car? Well, when I lived in Dallas,
yeah,
a friend of mine and her husband drove race cars.
Okay.
And I crewed for them.
Really?
Uh-huh.
I never knew.
Yeah, and she was the best driver, and we made it to the Nationals in Atlanta 3 years in a row, and of course Paul Newman raced in the C&D class, and was part of the menagerie. I didn't get to meet him, but
he was there racing on the same track.
Same track, but in a different class.
Okay.
Yeah, what? He did C&D. And my friends did Formula V. And mostly I was just TLC and timing and tires.
Mm-hmm.
But the Formula Vs, you know, if you went out, you went out. There was none of this pit stuff and back out into the race. You were out of the race. So
okay.
So mostly... I did the torquing and stuff of the tires, and the tire, they made all the decisions as to, you know, whether it was rain tires or whatever.
Sure.
That kind of stuff, yeah.
That's incredible. How did you get into that?
Well, it was just by a fluke. When I was on staff for this Explore thing, and it was a women's awareness group in the 70s type thing, so we had five or six on staff, and we did a lot of things to do that, and this gal was on staff also, and I knew she raced, but one time I said to her, I'd love to see you race sometime, and then she called me one day and she said, surely neither my husband or my son can go, and I have to race on Saturday, but I have to have an adult, 21 years or older, there. She said, you don't have to know anything, do anything, you just have to be there. It's part of the requirements.
Sure.
And I started that, and then I started going all the time.
That's great.
And one time, it was just hilarious, because it was just Fran and I, and we're going to Oklahoma for this race. And so we have this van, and on behind it is the car on a trailer.
Yeah.
You know, the race car.
Yeah.
And has all its little numbers and all this good jazz.
Sure.
And we're tootling down the highway, and you could just see people do double takes. Because here was just two women, and here's this race thing. And when we got to the gate, of course, they had to see our passes and stuff. But the whole weekend, we never had to show passes again, because we were the only female driver and female crew of the whole group. And it was just fun.
That's incredible.
Hmm. Yeah.
Wow. How old is she? Same age as you? Or?
A couple years older, probably.
Okay. Wow.
Probably in her 40s.
Sure. What kind of, were they stock cars?
No, it's called Formula V. They're off of a Volkswagen. I have pictures. I'll show you someday.
Yeah, that'd be great. That's so funny. Oh, that cracks me up. That's awesome.
You have no idea the stuff I've dabbled in.
Man, I guess not. We need to have these little fireside chats more often. We might have to do another one, because I don't think I'm going to be able to fit all this stuff in today. But, great.
Well, that has nothing to do with the Irish or growing up.
Not really, but it has to do with you.
Yeah.
Which is just as applicable.
Okay.
That's fantastic. Great. Well, we talked a lot about housing, chores. When did your family get a car? When did you, do you remember
The
first?
car I learned on was a 39 ship.
Okay.
And we had trucks that I had driven out in the field before. And most of the field stuff then was motorized, but that was the car. And here's this little tyke, and I drove the hired men to town, you know.
Really?
I drove everybody to town. Once she taught, she never drove again.
Once your mom taught you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did the driving.
How old were you when you started?
12. I mean, illegal.
But somebody had to do it.
Yeah.
Exactly. Did your family ever go on any outings or holidays or anything like that? It's kind of a foreign concept, the vacation.
Vacations didn't exist. I mean, they were ranchers.
Right. You can't leave. Somebody's got to feed the livestock, right?
But they just didn't, we probably didn't have the money either. We had the prestige of the name, actually. But because of the war years and everything, and
So you say prestige of the name, you were a pretty well-known family in that community.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just because you'd been there for so long, or because of.
Well, they were one of the major ranching families and
Yeah.
had considerable property.
Right.
Yeah.
And a land, a man with land was a successful man.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Yeah, well, actually, at that time, we had one of the largest ranches. What they called the company ranch was larger. Yeah.
The company, like the Anaconda
It
Company?
was called company.
Oh, okay. Huh.
I don't remember. I'd have to think back on the names, but
Sure. Who were the other kind of major ranching families? I mean, I know of some there now, but I don't know if they were the same then. Bignall's,
Mannix's, Bignall's, Gary's, same
Manley's.
names.
Were Manley's there then? Or did they come a little bit later?
Well, they were definitely there. Jan and Joan were about the same, and but I don't know when the original Manley Ranch started. Frank could tell you, I'm sure.
Right. Well, he built their house, didn't he? He and Glenn. Yep. I used to go fishing there all the time with Dad
Oh.
when I was younger.
Oh, did you? Yeah. And but the in reality, from the time I was about 11 or 12, see, I was gone 9 months out of every year, and so a lot of that I just didn't know. I was too young to care, in reality, and that. But my father was very respected and thought a lot of him. I mean, he had a, he was a, well, both mom and dad were people type.
Yeah, really
So we
personable.
had, yeah, and like I said, Thanksgiving, we had 40 for Thanksgiving. So, and
Wow.
yeah.
How did you fit 40 people in that?
Oh, they just scrounged around. The kids
Yeah.
ate in the bedrooms and
Sure. That's
yeah.
awesome. And did was there a church in Helville?
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The original church burned down. I think my dad was the last buried from there, and Didi and Glenn were the first married in the new one. I
Really?
think. You'll have to ask her
Okay.
about that. But yeah, they're always. I mean, from the time there were homesteaders,
they had Mass at some of the homes, I think, way back.
Yeah.
But there had been a church there my entire life.
Wow. And were your parents pretty religious as far
oh,
as
yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Church going?
Very.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What kind of, so there are obviously a lot of social practices that came along with Catholicism, but were
oh, definitely. You know, just like the slaughterhouse, they wouldn't kill an animal on Friday because of Good Friday, just the connection there. And in my day for communion, you fasted from midnight on. Mm. And yeah, it was pretty Catholic community.
As far as cultural rituals go and things like that, you said your dad had a wake.
Oh yes, yeah. They he died in the hospital, and then they bring the body, and they didn't do cremations. I think at that time it was very anti-Catholic. I can't remember the reasons, but anyhow, they didn't do. And so they brought the body to the big house because they had the space and stuff. And then the wake, everybody would say the rosary together. And because everybody traveled from long distance and stuff, they always supplied food and booze.
Yeah.
Although they weren't the live wire wakes that you've heard about. I mean, but everybody came. I mean, we went to funerals from the time I can ever remember. It was out there. Everybody was either related or you went to them just because of the community thing. But, and then the immediate family kept a rosary going through the night. And then they took the body to the church for Requiem Mass. And he's buried in the Helmville Cemetery.
Yeah. Is Ruby as well? Is your mom?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Ruperta.
Ruperta?
Ruperta.
Okay.
And there was a relative of some kind in Ireland that was Ruperta. So.
That she was named after, maybe?
I assume.
Yeah. How have you seen Helmville change over the years?
A lot of new families. I don't know, it's basically the same, except there's fewer. You know, there used to be like two bars. And the schoolhouse was up on the hill, and it was a two-story, lower grades in the first floor and upper grades in the higher one. In fact, it's right down across from where the church is now. That's the old schoolhouse that they use for maintenance something. And see, there's no grocery store. And a lot of the buildings are just old. And in town, there's not too many.
What do people who populated, you know, the immediate town of Helmville then, or even this, I mean, most of the surrounding areas, people ranched, but what did they do for work then?
Well, there was a general store and post office, and there was a garage. David Mannix's grandfather in the garage.
Okay.
And there was a gas station. Stouts had a gas station.
And some of the Garys, when I was really young, had a general store closer down. But it was, I barely remember it. Just remember seeing the case one time and dancing doll, you know, up above it. That's my only recollection of it. But some of the family have like some of the old ledgers or okay. something.
And that was the Garys?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And there was a liquor store. Hilaire and Kate had a liquor store.
Who was that?
Hilaire was one of the teachers. And her sister Kate, and they're Rosemary and Margie's aunts.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. And they operated, they taught and operated a liquor store?
Hilaire was a teacher.
Okay.
And there was a little liquor store right down by their house.
Huh.
But it wasn't like today's liquor stores where you wander in and out and all this kind of stuff. I remember buying booze in there when I was of age, but,
right.
you know, it was more of a, I don't think we made an appointment, but it was like it was open all the time.
Right. Hmm. Were there any community traditions or community holidays outside of national holidays? That were celebrated that you recall?
Well, St. Patty's Day for sure.
Yeah. Did everybody celebrate that there? Or did they go to Anaconda?
Oh, in Helmville.
Really?
Yeah. They and probably had a dance or something.
Sure. And that was a big deal.
Oh, yeah. Everybody, in order for the small communities to function, even today, they all have to participate.
Right.
Yeah. And they had card parties and lots of, after Mass on Sundays, Mom and Dad always wanted to go visit somebody, so we
sure.
always went to, I don't know,
sure.
see.
Were you or any of your family involved in the military, or served in the military?
No.
No? Your father didn't? Then.
No. He was heart patient.
Oh, right.
Mother's brothers were in World War I.
Wow.
In fact, I have a postcard that he sent her while he was in the war.
Really?
It's embroidered and it says, my sister.
Where was it from? Where is he stationed?
Can't remember. Probably on there. If I
sure.
dug it out.
That's wow. That's awesome. And you have.
I'm thinking France, but I couldn't swear to it.
And you have that.
Mm-hmm.
What other kind of?
And I have the other uncle's Purple Heart.
Really.
Hmm. He was injured but not killed.
Hmm.
That was Ed Coughlin. And Dave Coughlin was the one that sent the card to Mom. And he's the father of Kenny and Emmett. And okay.
And this was in World War One.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. That's amazing. What other kinds of family heirlooms do you have, like things like that, that stick in your memory or that you recall?
China closet that was a gift to Mother and Mom and Dad for the wedding. As is the tea cart.
This one here?
Right here.
Oh, wow.
This little tea cart and that china closet.
And the
clock on top is from the Wales Ranch.
Really?
Mm-hmm. It doesn't run, but.
Does it have manufacturing information on the back? Do you know where it's from?
Well, it's from the U.S., but. In fact, I just had the house painted, and the fellow was asking me about it, and we open up, you can barely see, there's just a little paper still on the back,
yeah.
But it was someplace in the U.S. It wasn't.
Cool. Is the china?
All the stuff inside was mother's.
Wow.
Yeah. That, yeah, all of it at one time or another. There's,
it's gorgeous.
Yeah. And the left side actually isn't glass anymore because one of the grandkids ran a buggy into it.
Oh, no.
You never know it, though.
Yeah.
They just put
a plastic
mm-hmm.
replacement. That's incredible. Cool.
Oh, yeah. I probably have. Huh. Any, well, the album, obviously.
Yeah.
That's yeah.
Amazing.
So they're probably... any number of little things if I thought about.
Sure. Since you've kind of become the unofficial family historian.
Well, I think what happened was, because I took care of Mom
mm-hmm.
at the end and stuff, so then that was Family Central.
Yeah.
And I just kind of flowed my way
yeah.
since. Plus, I'm fascinated, and I'm very family-oriented. I like to know what's going on and blah,
yeah.
blah, blah. So, and I have the time,
right.
you know, and the interest and stuff, so.
That's great.
You know, there were other cousins and stuff, you know, that were in the wars. At the same time, probably, as Glenn and Frank.
Sure.
But.
So, aside from, I mean, obviously, two huge world conflicts and subsequent wars, have there been any historical events that affected your family directly or your community?
Well, Bernie's husband was in the Korean War.
Okay.
And, no, he and Frank were in the one before.
Okay.
And they sent some beautiful Japanese kimonos to the girls from Japan.
Really?
That's so funny. I keep them straight.
Right. Right. Does your family that you recall have any special sayings or expressions? Things you remember your dad saying?
Not that comes right to mind.
Sure. We talked about holidays. Did any particular traditions emerge from holidays that are kind of specific to your family that you recall? You do every year. I mean, did you have 40 people over every year?
No, at Christmas time, we went to the big house first.
Yeah.
And that was kind of neat because they had those big sliding mahogany doors and
yeah.
stuff, and then the big tree with the crystal chandelier and all that good jazz. And so we would go there, and then we would come to our house and have our Christmas there. And then we went to Midnight Mass.
Hmm. To Midnight Mass?
Uh-huh. Always Midnight Mass for Christmas Eve.
That's great.
Yeah. And that was always it for as long as we lived there.
Do you remember any other cultural traditions? We talked about the wake. Or were there any superstitions that were particular to that community, or cures or skill sets like that?
I can't think of any particular ones.
Sure. What kind of instruments did people play? Or were there musicians?
Oh, yeah. In fact, it was community that played for the dances and stuff. Darlene and Bert.
Oh, yeah.
They played for both. And Bert played banjo.
Mm-hmm.
And Darlene played piano. And some of Ed's friends played accordions.
Mm.
Not at the dance, but when they came to visit at the ranch and stuff, they played accordions.
Yeah.
And, of course, pianos were everywhere.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think.
Did anyone play the fiddle?
Not in our family that I recall.
But
they used to do fiddlers things once in a while. But,
yeah, but at dances, sometimes there'd be...
I don't recall them doing the fiddle, no. They did some of what you call round dances earlier. You know, like schottisches and the butterfly and all of that.
Sure.
That kind of stuff. But it was primarily jitterbugs and waltzes. And
yeah.
Schottisch.
What is a schottisch?
1, 2, 3, hop. 1, 2, 3, hop, 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 hop.
Okay.
You go into, you do it together. And then you go around. And
okay.
When you do the hop, hop, hop in the end. And the butterfly was with three. And
it was kind of an interweaving?
Yeah, you did several steps and then you swung one and
yep.
swung the other and
okay.
that kind of stuff.
Cool.
Yeah.
Awesome. We're almost at the end of my questions. One last one. Maybe a couple. What are some of the most striking changes in your life?
Technology.
Yeah.
From all realms.
Mm.
Yeah, from automobiles to airplanes to going to the moon. All of the computerization and that type of thing. Just leaps and bounds of technology in my lifetime have been phenomenal.
Yeah. Hmm.
Telephones.
Yeah.
That don't do too short so long.
Right. Man. What are some of your greatest moments that just stick out in your memory of, I mean, whether it's, you know, whether it was sorrow or joy?
Oh. Just been through many deaths and that type of thing. That I don't... Nothing just really hits me as
yeah.
being a real...
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, I've had good and bad and in between.
Yeah.
All of it.
And how many, you were telling me earlier, but how many grand...
Currently?
Yeah.
Currently I have 28 grandnieces and nephews.
Okay.
And 84 grandnieces and nephews.
So, great grandnieces and nephews.
Grandnieces and nephews. Are 84.
Okay.
Great. Grandnieces. Great grand.
Yeah.
Are 28.
28. Wow.
And counting.
That's impressive. Impressive.
Yeah.
That's great.
Oh, natural.
That's awesome. So, last question. If you were to write the history of the Irish in Montana, what would you include for future generations? What do you think is one of the most important things you can pass on from yourself and your experience to future generations?
I'm drawing a blank.
That's all right. Any, yeah, I think this the best answers that we've been, you know, getting to that, the simplest ones, just things of